When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you probably do is pick up your phone. That phone is made of rare earth metals, which were likely extracted from a country like the Democratic Republic of Congo, where rebel groups use the revenues from mining these minerals to purchase weapons. But that fact will be far from your mind as you check social media, eking out a little you time before the day begins. In doing so, you are surrendering information about the most intimate parts of your life to companies like Facebook, which has been accused of promoting far-right extremism, facilitating child sexual exploitation, and interfering with the outcomes of democratic elections, or Twitter, now X, which was recently purchased by an egomaniacal, union-busting billionaire who fires the platform's employees when his tweets don't receive enough likes. You roll out of bed and pull on some clothes manufactured by a multinational corporation that outsources production to Bangladesh. After thousands of their peers were crushed to death when a garment factory collapsed in Dhaka, the workers who made those clothes organized themselves into a union, but they're still paid poverty wages. You see an old piece of clothing on the floor that doesn't spark joy, so you remind yourself to take it to a charity recycling bin. The item of clothing may then continue its journey to a huge dump in Kenya, where impoverished children pick through the waste to find a few items of resaleable quality. You rush out into the brisk, cold air, which is mercifully slightly warmer than the air in your house, just as they have utterly failed to deal with the housing crisis that forces you to pay two-thirds of your income in rent. Your government has failed to insulate people from rising energy costs too. You jump guiltily into your car, knowing that your decision to drive yourself to work is part of a problem that's causing global temperatures to rise at an unprecedented rate. But you might console yourself with the knowledge that your car runs on petrol, given Volkswagen's record of lying to the world about the impact of its diesel engines on the environment and your lungs. By the time the day ends, you're exhausted, physically and emotionally. You open a food delivery app and, when the driver arrives, you give him a small tip. He's very grateful for the extra cash because his motorcycle is on its last legs and he's been faced with a choice between taking out a high-interest payday loan to fix it or using his bicycle instead, which will mean more work and far fewer deliveries. As you drift off to sleep, you plug in that mobile phone, which was manufactured in a warehouse in China, where nets have been installed to catch workers who have tried to throw themselves out of the window. This may or may not be an accurate depiction of your life. Perhaps you're reading this book in a home that is now entirely your own, having left your days of drudgery and toil behind you. But you may also be aware that your children seem pathologically incapable of saving the amount of money required to purchase their own homes, let alone enough to retire as comfortably as you have. Or perhaps you are one of those lucky people who really genuinely enjoys their job, loves their co-workers, and believes they're really contributing something to society. But maybe you also struggle to escape the sense that something isn't quite right in the world around you, even though you feel entirely unable to do anything about it, other than purchase products marketed to you as green and ethical. Elements of this story will resonate with everyone because it describes what it is like to interact with the systems that govern the societies in which we all live and over which most of us have little control. The luckiest among us might be able to insulate ourselves from some of them, but no one can extricate themselves from the webs of labor, production, and consumption that underpin modern capitalism entirely. And as a result, most of us at some point in our lives will feel a little powerless. Many people will spend nearly every waking moment being controlled by these systems. And for some, that feeling of alienation drives them into a deep sense of despair. Most of us are trying to do what is best most of the time, yet so many of our decisions don't feel like decisions at all. There is a deep contradiction between the belief that we are free and the reality of living under capitalism, a system of pervasive unfreedom. This sense of unfreedom is grounded in the deep disparities of power that exist within capitalist societies, many of which are completely invisible. Most people are denied autonomy over their lives, yet we are consistently told that we are free to choose the way we live.